peace, social justice, and collective liberation. The Black Alliance for Peace says, end the colonial occupation of Washington, D.C. No justice, no peace, no compromise, no retreat. The full statement can be found at blackallianceforpeace.com/BAP statements. This has been Jackie Lukman, chairperson of the Black Alliance for Peace Coordinating Committee, with an editorial.
I'm Kamaya.
I'm Amira.
I'm Kaya.
I'm Kamaya.
And you're listening to WPFW Washington.
Another man done gone. Another man done gone from the county farm. Another man done gone.
Huh? I don't know. Like what? What? Huh? I'm just going across the street.
Shut your mouth.
Oh, no. What'd I do?
Turn around. Put your hands behind your back. Let's go.
A jury of your peers having found you guilty. 10 years. What?
Come on. Get that set.
I was in jail, too, man. It's cold-blooded in the jail. You go down there looking for justice. That's what you find. Just us.
Welcome to another edition of Crossroads Today. Now, here's your host, Roach Brown.
Good morning, and welcome to Crossroads. This is Roach Brown. We come to you every Tuesday at the same time. Because of what's going on in D.C., we decided to have an open mic where our listeners can call in and give us your take on what's going on in the city and the federal takeover with the National Guard moving into the city. And it's just a mess here in Washington, D.C. So we're going to start with that. But before we open up, I'd like to say something that's on the Statue of Liberty. It's a poem written by Emeril Lazarus, and it's called A New Colossus. And it says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. These words are inscribed on a bronze plaque mounted on the pedestal of the Statue of Liberty. Again, give me your tired, your poor, and your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. This is what everybody's been coming to, all this immigration and deportation. The United States is the Super Bowl around the world. If you get to the United States, you feel you made the Super Bowl. This is the place where you can be free, express your thoughts, and chase your dreams for a better life for you and your family. But now, lately, what's been going on in America, especially in Washington, D.C., things have been going backwards 30, 40, 50, 60 years, and it is frightening and it's scary. But before we get to that, we open up with what we call the grapevine, information that you can use. The grapevine. Hey. U.S. judge extends block on Trump's bid to eliminate Job Corps programs. Job Corps is a residential job training program for low-income youth. The judge says shutting down likely illegal without congressional okay. Trump group sues to block Trump's administration action. A U.S. judge on Wednesday blocked President Donald Trump's administration from shutting down Job Corps, a major residential job training program for low-income youth. A U.S. district judge in Manhattan said the abrupt shuttering of the 60-year-old program by the Department of Labor without authorization from Congress was likely illegal. Washington, D.C. restaurants suffer a sharp drop in diners, since Trump's crackdown. Eating out drops by up to 31% amid federal takeover of policing that Democrats call stunt to distract from the Epstein situation. The number of people eating at restaurants in Washington, D.C. has plummeted since Donald Trump's deployed federal troops to the city, according to data. As the president's purported crackdown on crime continues, research by Open Table found that restaurant attendance was down every day this last week compared with 2024, with the number of diners dipping by 31% on Wednesday, 2 days after Trump ordered the National Guard to patrol Washington. Trump announced a move on August 11, claiming that Washington had been overtaken by violent gangs and bloodthirsty criminals roving mobs of wild youth, drugged out maniacs, and homeless people. His claims contradicted official statistics, which show that violent crime in the capital is at a 30-year low. Data from Open Table shows that the number of people making online reservations dropped by 16% on Monday compared with the previous year. On Friday, Democrats introduced a joint resolution to end what they describe as egregious attacks on D.C. home rule. Judge appears skeptical about lawsuit challenging treatment of detainees at Alligator Alcatraz. A federal judge appears skeptical about a lawsuit challenging the temporary detention facility in the Everglades known as Alligator Alcatraz during a court hearing on Monday, despite plaintiffs' claims that the Trump administration and the state of Florida have run roughshod over constitutional concerns in their rush to build the controversial facility. A group of detainees at the facility is asking the U.S. District Judge, a Trump appointee, to issue an order that would require authorities to expand legal access at the controversial facility, where the detainees say they lack a standard way to communicate with their attorneys and that they are being held without any formal criminal or immigration charges against them, making it challenging, if not impossible, for them to seek release on bond. ICE is deporting thousands with minor offenses from traffic violations to weed possession. Many people with little or no criminal records have been swept into the administration's immigration dragnet since January, an analysis of the deportation data shows. People with no criminal convictions at all make up two-thirds of the more than 120,000 people deported since January and May. For another 8%, the only offense on their record was illegal entry into the U.S. Only about 12% were convicted of a crime that was either violent or potentially violent. The numbers contradict officials' continued claim that immigration enforcement is focusing on the worst of the worst. For many facing removal, the crimes on their records are years old. So far this year, more than 600 people have been deported, whose most serious convictions were marijuana-related offenses, and in three of the four cases, the offenses occurred at least 5 years ago. It's not all about convictions anymore, said Tim Walton, a directing attorney of the Northwest Immigrant Right Project. There is no discretion. It's just trying to get as many people as they can, any way they can. And here's one. Teenagers in Washington, D.C. say the federal police takeover makes them feel unsafe. Marik Dacca arrived here early this month for his first year of college at Howard University. It's a new environment, away from home, away from family. You're already going to feel some type of way, the 18-year-old said. He says he expected to feel nervous about normal freshman stuff, like his classes and making friends. He did not expect to feel nervous about all the federal forces roaming the city. He said he has seen federal police officers patrolling the Howard University campus, and that feels unsafe. We're young. We want to go outside. We want to have fun in a new era. We're afraid to go out because we're afraid one wrong step, one wrong move off the crosswalk, and I'm getting flagged down for something. That fear began Monday when President Trump announced that he was sending in the National Guard and taking over the D.C. Metropolitan Police Department. On Fridays, D.C. officials fought back. Caught in the middle of all this are the district's young people. At the press conference announcing the move on Monday, Trump described roving mobs of wild youth. The U.S. Attorney for D.C., Jeanine Pirro, spoke of young punks and advocates for a harsher punishment. And that's been what we call the grapevine. Thank you for tuning in. Now, I guess this morning is none other than the gentleman who's been a guest on this show numerous times, and I met him 45 years ago. Or was it 55? I'm not counting wrong. You know, it just happens that way. Our guest is Ron Hampton, former executive director of the National Black Police Association, Institute of Black World 21st Century, and the Police Accountability Task Force. We decided to ask Ron to join us because of the president's move of bringing in the National Guard to take over the D.C. Department, D.C. Police Department, and to hopefully make the streets safe, so to say. And we wanted to get it. We wanted to hear the words from somebody who's been on the front line, who's on the front line, and who's been involved. And everywhere we go in this city, we see Ron Hampton at various meetings for dealing with police accountability, what we can do with our youth, et cetera. So we wanted to bring somebody who has knowledge of what's happening, has been happening, and is happening on the street. And secondly, you can call in with your take. We're asking our listeners, if you get whatever your position is on what's going on in Washington, D.C., because this is unusual, unprecedented, unheard of. And I want to say good morning to Ron Hampton. Good morning, Ron.
How you doing? How you doing, Ruthie?
We're good. Good seeing you. That's wonderful.
Yeah, glad to be here with you all. Glad to be here.
Okay. All righty. Ron, we talked briefly, man. What's your take? Sir. Since you've been dealing with the police department for the last 30, 40 years, and you're working in the community, even though you're retired, you're still actively involved in all these activities that are going on in the city. What's your take on what's happening?
Roach, this is a scheme, man, that the orange man has developed and putting it on our city. You know, one of the things that history tells us is that if you tell a lie long enough and frequently enough, then it will become the truth. And we have seen some of that. You know, there's never been any question about, for example, the crime statistics. And when there's been a question about it, there's a mechanism between here and the FBI, because that's where they have to file them at, that can get to the bottom if there's some shenanigans going on. But all of a sudden, the statistics aren't credible, and this man wants to launch an action based on the fact that there's crime here. Not only this city, but across the country, crime has consistently been going down since COVID. And we have seen that. And we have seen the effort of people that you and I know and worked with for years, like Tyrone Park, the Lions of Concerned Men, the Credible Messengers, not just here again in this city, but across and up and down the East Coast. Credible Messengers and Violence Interrupters and community groups has significantly cut into the crime that's been happening in our community, because they've been doing it from the bottom up, not the top down. Because I maintain that the police are not the solution to public safety. The solution to public safety is when the community is involved in that process, and that's what we see and have been experiencing. Now, the police do have a responsibility, it's no question. But in this city, some of that responsibility ought to mean that the police get out the car and stop sitting in cars parked in front of the CVS and some of the stores. Because that's not public safety. They need to get out of the car, walk around, talk to people, introduce themselves to people so we'll know who the officers are that work in our community. That has a lot to do with it. A friend of mine used to say all the time that the fear of crime is more devastating than crime itself. Now, let me say that again and hold on to it, that the fear of crime is more devastating than crime itself, because when we hear about crime, then we all of a sudden it grips us and then we start to worry about it. And that's what has happened in this city. And the federal people are adding to it rather than subtracting from it, because the police are still the police. When you call the police, someone from the police department answers the phone. When they send the car, somebody from the police department is in the car. That federal stuff, those are not police officers. Those are people who are here, a part of the rules that the orange man has perpetrated on our community. And it's not doing anything, because it is targeted at a certain particular thing at a certain particular time. And what we've been telling people, and what the lady up in that's on the council from Ward 4 had a town hall meeting, and she said something that was very carefully constructed, and I agree with it. Don't give them anything to work with. Don't mess around and be a picture on the front page of the paper or on the news in the evening, because when you give them something to work with, they're going to respond to it. See, the police are different, but these federal people, they're looking for something so that they can justify what it is that they're doing. And it's not making our community safe. Nothing has changed. This is still what it is that's going on. What I really question is, what was all those 300 and some arrests they claimed that they made? What were they for? See, things haven't changed, and our community isn't any safer simply because they send some army people here or some DEA and some of the mother guys. Because don't make a mistake now. They're not police officers.
Yeah, we turning everything up.
There you go.
There you go. Yes. Okay. All right, let me turn it up some more. How's that?
Is that better?
Yeah. What? Okay. So we turned everything. Okay.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead, Mark.
What I would like to say is what Albert Einstein has said. In 1953, he said this. The world will not be destroyed by those who do evil, but by those who watch them without doing anything. We have the power, people. We do not have to accept this, and we won't.
That's right. That's
right. You know, I want to mention that our co-host Nikichi is traveling. She's in the Caribbean, and she's an attorney. But you and I spoke, Ron, and we noticed that law enforcement, the 300 to 400 arrests that were supposedly made when after they made this announcement to take over the police, all 300 to 400 were black or brown. There was no white individuals locked up. And usually police are reactionary. They come after the crime. So having cops and National Guard roam in the streets, the guys just go around the corner four or five blocks over and still do what they're going to do. Don't stop crime. They react to a crime that's already happened. So we talked about crime, making our streets safe. All of us know. Bringing the National Guard or the Ku Klux Klan, I don't care who you call and bring in.
Right, that's who
that ain't going to stop it. What's going to stop it is programs, jobs reduce crime.
Yep.
Jobs
right.
save lives.
That's
you know,
right.
Ron, we was talking the other day, me and a buddy, and we grew up back in the day, and we had 12, 13 to 14 years old, you had a job as a paper boy or a newsboy.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
You had things to do. Now, our kids is 12, 13, 15, 16. There's nothing for them to do. There's no jobs. There's no income. And that program about Myron Berry's Summer Youth Job Program, that's beautiful. But they only hire the kids for 90 days. They get
that's
a check
right.
for 90. So when the 90 days is over, what do they do? Kids need money. They need social services. They need programs. With all these damn churches and schools talking about the curfew, you can't come out, you can't do this. Why don't you open up? Every church and school should be open right. 24 hours a day so kids can have a program. We can
that's
make right. the streets safe. You don't need the
National
right. Guard. You got people
that's
in
right.
this city who can make
right.
Washington, D.C. safe if they have the resources. Go ahead.
When you just mentioned the schools, one of the things that the mayor of Baltimore did is something that we used to do here. I remember when the rec centers was in the schools. There used to be one up in Lovejoy. There was one at some of the high schools and the junior high schools in the city. And what they used to do is they would stay open till 9, 10 o'clock at night. The rec centers would be open late. There were specific programs for our young people to get involved in the sports things, all those. I happened to be at the gas station the other day, Roach, and the young man passed by me while I was filling up my car, and he had on a Boys and Girls Club shirt. And he happened to work at the Boys and Girls Club on Shepherd Street. And I just stopped him and asked him, and I introduced myself to him, and I said, my brother, is the population and the participation at your club big? He said, no, man, it's hardly nobody even come through there. So I said, well, what kind of marketing program do you all have to draw people in there? Because I said there was a time when the Boys and Girls Club had to almost turn children away because they were coming in there. And then you say, well, why do they go to the Navy Yard? They go to the Navy car because it draws them to it. You remember when they lit up 7th and H and put the neon signs up on the building? And yes. Then the next week after they did all that, the young people started going down there hanging out. Well, the police went down there to break it up. That was the wrong thing to do. But then when they started talking about why they was there, they used to sit on the steps of the Portrait Museum. And they didn't bother nobody. They just sit there on the step. You have to give them something to do constructively if you want them to do something constructive. If not, they're going to find something constructive to do.
You know, Mertine read that piece earlier about if a society is going to be destroyed, it won't be destroyed by the people calling the shots or doing the wrongdoing. It's going to be destroyed by them people sitting on the side and not doing nothing.
That's right. That's right.
Folks, you sitting by, we already lead the country in locking up our youth in D.C. These kids get locked up and get 40, 50, 60. They get impossible sentences, and they get sent halfway across America. And right now, with all this stuff about making D.C. safe and all the crime stats say the crime rate is going down. And they're targeting our youth. People, this is our tomorrows is being locked up and being penalized and then criminalized. Our tomorrows. And if you want to go down to, don't take what I tell you. Go down to D.C. Superior Court. Go to any juvenile court in the country and look at juvenile court. 95% of the defendants are black or brown. Black or brown. People, we're talking about locking up our tomorrows. You have to take a stand. We know these all kids ain't bad. Let's give them something to do. If the kids got a job, all the kids in Marienburg summer program, I don't know what the rest record is, but I could bet you a dime to a fat man that these kids who were working in Marienburg summer youth job program did not get arrested, wasn't in the streets, they was involved in positive things. We know what the answer is. People, you can spend $35 million in Washington, D.C. to relocate migrants. Trump spent $55 billion to send over to Ukraine. It won't take that to solve these problems in Washington.
No, it wouldn't. No.
We got people who can make it safe. Let the people do the job. This is our city. We know it. We should be able to do it. And it's frustrating, people. They call our kids thugs.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's part of the process. You criminalize them. You call them all kind of crazy names. You talk about the crime stats are full. They're going on, and the fact of the matter is, and it's really strange because it's already happening, Martin. There are people in Southeast who saying that they want, that they think that the soldiers should be in Southeast. No, they shouldn't be in Southeast. They shouldn't even be in Washington, D.C. They shouldn't even be in Washington, D.C. But see, that is part of the brainwashing that takes place from these people. And really, the orange man isn't that smart. See, it's those other...
At all, right.
Yeah, that's exactly right. See, it's some people behind him that want what it is that he's willing to do and say. So as much as he wants to be king, he's a puppet because he's not doing this. But there are other people that's going to benefit from it. But you don't want the army and the National Guards in your community. You want your police department that you pay taxes for, and they need to adjust their strategy and begin to be more community-minded and do the things that a police department should be doing and ought to be doing rather than sitting in a car doing nothing or sitting in there daydreaming. So I'm telling you, we need to wake up and stop playing with each other about this stuff, because we'll turn around and look, they will have employed this strategy here and then made it successful. And next thing you know, they'll be going to Baltimore, they'll be going to the other black populated cities that are democratically run and operated. And then this is going to be their strategy to reduce what it is that we've had in this city, in this country, across the board.
You know, Ron, one of the things that I've heard is that they're stopping people putting up roadblocks and open up the doors and take you out. There's no probable cause. They don't even suspect a crime. They see you coming down because you fit whatever's in their mind. They pull you over, search you, and you got to charge them 300-400 arrested they got. Was nobody
That's right. Asked. That's exactly right. Look, Rose, if you were to set up a police car and police officers at the end of my block, and stop everybody who come through there. Stop everybody who come through there. I'm willing to give you $100 for every person that come through there that you're going to be able to somehow or another be able to have something that they're worried about and ultimately to go to show you that is not a strategy that the police, they stopped using that a long time ago. I remember working for Chief Fullwood, and when he got information about that going on and taking place while he was chief of police, he stopped it because he said that wasn't what police was intended to do, those kind of things. It has a place maybe in public safety, but it shouldn't be something that the police go downtown and set up and just pick people off as they come through there, just pick them off. I remember when I worked in the 3rd District, and you know, back in the day, they were smoking marijuana and they were up there on 14th Street and all that. I remember the captain sent us up at roll call, told us to go up to 14th and Fairmont Street and stop everybody who was coming on there and question them. I told the captain on the side, I said, I'm not going up there. I said, that is, you're restricting people's movement. That's a violation of the constitutional right of people's right to move. Well, you can let people in who live in the block. No, you can let everybody in, because you just can't stop a person simply because they're using Fairmont, the 1400 block of Fairmont Street, to get over to the 15th Street. Come on, now let's be real. And then the ACLU got a word of it, and then they filed an injunction and stopped the police department from doing that shit. That's the kind of stuff that you had to do. There's something that society had to do, but we need to do something too.
Ron, wait a minute. We're going to take it. We're at
our first call.
We're asking everybody to call in with your take on D.C. takeover. Our guest is Ron Hampton, former executive director of the National Black Police Association and the Police Accountability Task Force. We have our first call on. We want to know what your take is on what's going on with the takeover by the National Guard in Washington, D.C. You're on the air, please, caller. Your name and question.
This is Rick calling from Germany, brother.
You're on air.
Can you hear me now?
Hello.
Hello, Roach. Can you hear me?
I can't hear you. Turn it up. Hello.
Hello, Roach. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, we hear you now, Rick.
We know who you are. Come on here.
This is Rick calling from Germany. And I hear Brother Ron. I would just like to say I disagree with you on federal troops being used in D.C., National Guard troops being used in D.C. I think it's possible to use them in a constructive way, but Trump is not the man to do it. Trump has said openly that if you rough people up, you will still be approved. And for any president, any American president, to give that statement, it is inflammatory and inspiring the people to riot. So I think federal troops and National Guard can be used, but Trump is just not the man to do it. And I would like to ask you, Brother Ron, about the masks. In Germany, certain elements of the police department and the secret services go about with police on their back and masks on their heads. Why is that becoming popular in America?
Go ahead, Ron. You want to respond?
Good question. You muted yourself.
Mute yourself, Ron. Yeah.
Okay, now straight now. Can y'all hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, let me respectfully disagree with the brother. And the reason why we don't need the guard in any example is that they're not police. They're not public safety. They are the army. And the army is designed to do one thing, and that's to deal with war. There's no war. There's no war going on in Washington, D.C. And then it has to be, therefore, you can use them, but it has to be in terms of a crisis. The crisis that they should have been here to deal with was the one that was taking place on the steps of the Capitol on January the 6th. That was the crisis they should have been dealing with, because it was targeted at the Constitution of this country. That is it. But see, let me tell you, the police are not the army. They are a citizen or organization that is based in the citizen, and they get their power. They get the power for what they do from the citizens they serve, and they shouldn't be wearing masks. I remember working for Chief Fullwood, and he didn't even want police officers to wear gloves because the appearance of what it looked like them walking around doing their work with gloves on. And I'm talking about not rubber gloves, leather gloves. You know what? If you can't touch nobody, that's not the job for you. So no. They don't need to be wearing masks. They don't need to be wearing gloves. They are not an army. See, they got it mixed up. And you see the manifestation of their confusion based on how they look. So no. They don't need no gloves. They don't need no masks. And we don't need no National Guard. The National Guard don't have a place in a civilian operation as it relates to the public safety. Public safety is something that is done by the police and the citizens. And the citizens are involved in that process.
Okay.
There's a process that they use in the UK. They also use it in Canada and to some extent in Germany. They talk about the police with the consent of the people. So that means they get their power from the people that they serve. They just don't reach up in the air and get the power and then they go on and jack people up. That's not how it works. So no, bro, I had to respectfully disagree with you. We don't need the National Guard. That's not what we need here.
You know, Ron, we got a couple more calls. Our caller is Rick. He's from Germany. He lived in Washington, D.C.
I understand.
And now here we're going in. Well, he's going in. He's in Germany. And the Gestapo, Hitler, these same tactics that were used back then of taking people up, rounding them up, and disappearing them. We got people now who've been arrested. You're not entitled to a phone call. You don't know where they've been housed at. You can't get in front of an attorney, and et cetera. So these kind of tactics came from Hitler and the Third Reich and the Gestapo.
That's right. And look, bro, we are seeing those tactics used not only in this country, but internationally. They are coming back. There are rulers who are coming back and utilizing those strategies because it's about authoritarianism. That's what it's about. And they know that. Okay. So it's not just something in the States. It's an international movement.
All right, we'll take another caller. We got several callers on the line. You're on the call. You're on the line, please. Question or comment. What's your take on what's going on in the D.C. takeover?
Yes, it's me. Hi. Is that me?
Yes, come on. You're on the air. Come on.
Okay, hi. My take is I wanted to dispel some myths that I've been listening to today and all throughout this whole process. First of all, this is a whole distraction for Trump because he wants to distract from the fact that of the Epstein files, and that was at the beginning of the program, and that is absolutely true. And the only way to do that is to use the Southern strategy, which scapegoats African Americans and other people of color. But the police, I want to say this real clearly. The police are doing their jobs. They are not here to serve and protect us. They're not. And that is their job. They are here to serve and protect white people, white supremacists, and their interests and their property. They're doing their job in suppressing us and oppressing us. And for us to call for, and they're undermining our communities so we could call for our own oppression. The police, and as far as the Nazi situation is concerned, they came over here. They came over to the United States so they could use Jim Crow, so that they could learn their tactics of Jim Crow to take over to Germany. That's where they got their tactics from here. Not to mention the fact of the inception of this whole United States is based on oppression. It's based on genocide. It's based on basically getting rid of racism and white supremacy. So, and just one more thing, if I may, the the Statue of Liberty was given to the United States as a gift from France because at the end of slavery. And at the bottom of the Statue of Liberty is chains that are broken. So this is the basis of the United States. The United States is a genocidal. To say that the people that are coming over here, especially if this is a prison, which is the exception to the 13th Amendment, which is to put us back in bondage, to say that the United States, that people are coming over here because of freedom is completely wrong. Because the United States has never been about that.
Thank you. Thank you for your comment. We'll take our next caller. We got the phones are jumping off the hook. We'll take our next caller. You're on the air, please. Question or comment. Your name?
Good morning. I have a comment. Good morning to everybody.
Good morning.
And thank you for your show. Good morning.
Thank you.
I have a take on that this is all racism because the orange monkey doesn't know anything else. His father marched with the Klan in New York in the 20s. I've been calling. I suggest that everybody calls the governors who are sending troops, because I did this morning. I called every last one of them and said that you are a racist if you support him. The man is a narcissist, a sociopath, everything you don't want anybody to be that runs this country. Like I said, I called them and I said, well, since you want to send people here who at the taxpayer's expense, then you send the army here, maybe we should have a million-man march and come visit you all. So that's what I've been telling them. You know, I said the people are not going to tolerate it. We have to stand up and push away from it. And I say, D.C., fill the streets. Fill the streets.
Okay. Thank you. We'll take our next caller. Thank you. Our next caller, question or comment. You're on the air, please. What's your take on what's going on with the D.C. takeover? Can you speak up a little louder, please? Go ahead. Next caller, you're on the air. Question or comment, please.
Yeah, I have a comment.
Come on.
Okay, my question is, has anybody thought about the fact that these people who have come into D.C. when we still have generational Washingtonians like myself here, where are they going to go once they're done their service? Is this an occupation? Are these people really going to try to stay here and occupy properties and start taking over communities and stuff? A lot of this seems like it's a deeper plan.
Are you talking about the National Guard or the immigrants?
I'm talking about the National Guard.
No, they won't stay here. They'll be here for a short period of time, I hope. We hope, but
historically, when they've done things, you know, a lot of times they leave soldiers to stay where they are, taking other people's property.
All right, and thank you for your comments. Next caller, please. We're trying to get as many people in on the air as possible. Next caller, question or comment, please. Your take on what's going on with the D.C. takeover.
Hello. My take. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yes.
We hear you.
My take is that it's fascism. And he started out with a lie in the press conference when he said, this is the worst it's ever been in Washington, D.C. He's never lived here to be able to say that. The worst it's ever been was in 91 when we had 509 murders. That's the worst it's ever been. We a little over 100 right now. So this is started out with a lie. Then you can't act like you care about our young people when you close 100 job corps where they trying to get a trade.
Yes, there you go.
The worst of that they're supposed, because the choice has been by judges, either you go to job corps or you go to jail for a lot of our youth. And then you close that job corps center when they're trying to better themselves, but you say you care about our youth. Now he got this attitude of, lock them up, throw away the key.
Throwing them away, man. That's what it is. Thank you for calling in, man. We appreciate you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Next caller, please. Next caller. Hello. You're on air. Next call. Okay. All right. All right. Come on. Next caller.
The book
Yes, to reiterate, the book that the young lady had is called Hitler's American Model and it's the United States and the Making of Nazi Race Law. It's by James Q. Whitman, and it was published in 2017 under Princeton Press. And I live in one of those colonized neighborhoods. I'm in DuPont, but I'm off of 14th Street, where U Street is up the street from me. And this neighborhood has basically been colonized. That's what has happened to these predominantly black enclaves, which used to be actually the black elite. And white people look at me like, what the hell am I doing in this neighborhood? I'm the only African-American, even though I'm fair-skinned, they kind of think I'm Latino, but I'm African-American. And when I walk my dog, I get these snide looks. And the only other black family here is my neighbor, who is James Baldwin's sister. And she's one house over from me, and I look out for her. But Washington, I'm blaming Muriel Bowser for kowtowing and acquiescing to the powers that be. She doesn't have a spine, and we need to get her, you know what, out of there also. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next caller, please. Call in and give us your take on the takeover in Washington, D.C. You can call in and give us your take on the takeover in Washington, D.C. Hello, next caller. Next caller.
Hello.
You're on the air. Question or comment, please.
Okay. Hey, Roach. Hey, I just want you to know, man, you're the only show I donate to because I can relate to the looting and all that stuff. But my comment is, for real. Back in the 80s, I remember the National Guards was out. So from my understanding, the National Guards can stay indefinite. But all the other agencies only have 30 days, and then they got to go. But from my understanding, Trump trying to have a nationwide of what he's doing right now in D.C. If it go nationwide, then all them ABC agencies can stay on, you know, as long as it's nationwide. So I just wanted to add that, you know, for the people that didn't
okay.
know.
Thank you.
But like I said, the National Guards, they indefinite. All right. Thanks. Have a good one.
Thank you. Thank you. Ron, one of the things that we need to share is that D.C. is already over-policed. Every police agency in the world, from Interpol, Scotland Yard, the United Nations Security Force, international treaties, every federal agency, local police department has an office or a staff or a presence in Washington, D.C. D.C. has more police per capita than any other city in the world.
Yes,
and now
sir.
So we're floating. You're not only that. You can go rent you a cop. You can buy you a cop. Everywhere. You know what I mean? So this is already an over-police situation. What I'm talking about is our black and brown folk, man, are disappearing.
That's right.
Our next call. Our next caller, please. Question or comment? You're on the air.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Then I think we need to change the narrative. As long as we talk about crime, they're winning. This isn't about crime, so we don't need to keep saying that. What we need to keep saying and attacking is that Donald Trump has got to go. This is the fascist takeover. He's incompetent. He's incompetent, unfit to be a president. He's not even trying to be a president. And we need to say that because D.C. could actually set the agenda for other cities and states to use to start attacking this. And next year, 2026, will be election here in this city. The mayor's up. We need to get rid of this mayor. We need to get rid of most of the city council who kowtows to this stuff. And until there's a united front that they would have to use their resources to attack us and other people, we have to put the Democrats on point because they are allowing this to happen. This is supposed to be the legislative Black Caucus in September at the Convention Center. We need to start being proactive and stop just talking about what they do. They can only do what we allow them to do. They can what we allow them to do. The mayor needs to assert her control over the police and the National Guard and say, you belong to us. You are D.C. residents. You take my orders, not their orders.
Thank you for calling it. Thank you. We appreciate that. Next caller. Come on, Mike. Next caller.
Hello. That's me, right?
Yes.
Okay.
No.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Okay, I want to agree with the caller just before me, because the first thing I wanted to say is that they can't do any more than we allow them to do. And while I'm not a fan of this mayor, I don't think that we can put the blame on an individual. I think the reality is that what we have to do is recognize is that she wasn't ready, but then she's never been a fighter, not for the right, that's for sure. And she's not only is she not ready, we're not ready. We have to get ready, and we have to organize. And so when we point the finger, we need to be looking in the mirror, because we, the people, have to be organized. We, the people, are the power. There's no individual that we have elected or put up front who can do what needs to be done. It has to be us.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We have another caller, Mike. Go ahead, Ron. You want to respond to that?
Respond to, I think the brother's right. The last group of callers have hit the thing. But what I would say to them is I would ask them how old they are. And I'm not playing the ageism game, but I would ask them how old they are. And if you don't have a reference point, for example, for what Black folk went through in the civil rights struggle, then you have to be educated about it. And then you also had to be a part of that strategy to even talk about what are we going to do, because everybody's starting point is a different place. I'm 81 years old. If those young people that was just on the telephone in their 30s, they wasn't around for the civil rights era. So they don't know what the civil rights era is. They don't have a reference point, but they do have a point for what it is that's happening now. And for young people, this might be their civil rights struggle, because yes. Is that these people, the Orange Man and the rest of these people are doing, they're confronted with the thing that they're taking all of the stuff that the civil rights era brought about. We just got through celebrating the 1964 Civil Rights Act has been taken back. So that you have to take your time and educate people, because you want them to be somewhere near the same place when we start kicking that butt and doing what it is that we need to do, because they need to understand their role in this process. Because what the benefit of the civil rights struggle told me was that everybody had a role. And people like you, Roach, Mertin, the brothers and them over at WHUR, the people at WPFW had a role, because they were the ones who were in the media and doing the work that needed to be done in terms of galvanizing people and getting them to the same place at the same time so they could do what they need to do. Because everybody has a role.
We have a couple more calls on. Come on, we'll take our next caller. What's your take on the takeover in D.C.? You're on the air. You're on the air. Okay, you're on the air. What's your take on the takeover in D.C.? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Listen, I'm saying Trump needs to stop acting like a kid and stop thinking this world is revolved around him only. Let's get it right. Oh. Thank you.
Okay. Beautiful. Is that it?
Yeah, that's it.
Okay, thank you, Pop. I appreciate you, man. Right. We're asking everybody to give their take on what's going on, because, there's an old saying that we've been saying, guys in prison from D.C., D.C. has a reputation. When you go into the federal system, D.C. inmates stick together. I don't care if you're from Southeast, Northeast, Bar Farm, or whatever. You can have a beef in the street, but the minute you go to prison, you are all together. And D.C. inmates, prisoners stick together. That same kind of togetherness or camaraderie inside need to be transplanted out here. Because I'm telling you, folks, D.C. prisoners got a reputation worldwide, not just on the Federal Bureau of Prisons, that if you mess with one D.C. guy, you mess with all of them. And he ain't got to know you. I don't care what part of town you're from. When the word get out that you got to another prison, you from D.C., you got a bag of goodies, candy, soap, deodorant, and they look out for you. We need to have this same kind of camaraderie and togetherness out here. Last night, it was a Zoom meeting at Union Temple Church with Reverend Willie Wilson, Vernon Hawkins, and they're bringing back Unity Fest. And a part of that is with the Million Man March. So they're trying to take some of the same similarities from the Million Man March and with the Unity Fest, which Union Temple ran for 15 to 20 years. And they had thousands of people come from all over the country for that. So we're asking folk, let's get together. As my wife said, the society will not be destroyed by the people calling the shots or doing wrong. It'll be destroyed by us sitting on the sidelines, not saying or doing nothing. People, our lives are at stake. Our kids' lives are at stake. Our tomorrows. So we need to come together in this Unity Fest and Million Man March event that's being planned by Union Temple with Reverend Willie Wilson. People, join. Do something. Don't just keep saying, well, I thought so. Stop that. Do something. Get off your can. We don't want no jiggy boogie. If you ain't real, get off the deal, man. Get off the scene. People's lives are at stake. Go ahead, Mike. We got somebody else?
Couple more calls.
Okay, let's go. Let's take our first caller. Keep it quick. Short and quick. We got 4 minutes. You're on the air.
Yes. Were any of the National Guard troops in the district actually deployed to areas where there are murders or other crimes?
Or white neighborhoods.
Exactly.
That's a good question.
There you go. And a quick comment here. Trump is doing this because he wants to give his supporters and the people voted for him some red meat to feast on. You know, keep his ratings up and keep some Republicans who are holding his feet to the fire about, is he on the Epstein list? Keep them, you know, because they were getting, they were raising hell with Trump over that. And that's the way to, okay, to keep them loyal. That's all.
Okay.
Thank you. We take our last caller. Our next caller, please. Come on, you're on the air. Last caller.
Yeah. I just want to say real quick. Hey, Ron Winslow. Look, I just want to say that what's happening now, the point is, this is our moment in time. But everybody has to know their roles. You guys already said it. When the politicians are politicking, let them politic. When the street dudes are doing their thing, let them do it. Those who know the struggle that can reach these youngins, use this as a moment to get them to stop killing each other. Because I don't like what's going on, but what I do like is they suddenly backing up and saying, hey, I played with fire, and now some real fire here. Now you get a chance to show who you are, right? Don't fake. You was tough 6 weeks ago. Be tough now. But the toughness has to be discipline. It has to be discipline. It's got to be controlled aggression. It's got to be discipline. You know, some of us have been around for a while, and we've seen this city in various stages. I've never seen this before. And I love what the last caller said. People keep stop talking about that relationship between the guy in the White House and Epstein. This is all diversion, smoke and mirrors, because crime is everywhere. Go to West Virginia and talk to me about the guys that smoking that thing. Go to the places where there are not people that look like us and talk about that crime. Clean up Cleveland and clean up West Virginia, where you sending troops here. But what about the flood that them people can't even get to their houses? If you really want to clean up something, clean up your own house. The worst thing in the world is me to go in your house and talk about how dirty it is, and then my joint looking raggedy. And the reality is, that's what this is. This is diversion. This is supremacy. It's like a big old meatball, man. And we all got to just chop it up and know our roles, right? And I love what you guys are doing.
Thank you. Thank you for calling in. Our time is up. I guess it's been Ron Hampton, former executive director of the National Black Police Association and the Police Accountability Task Force. Thank you, Ron, for joining us. We're out of time. Thank you for calling in. And remember, they came for my neighbor one night, and I didn't do nothing. They come for me in the morning. Who's going to be there for us? Folk, you better wake up, straighten up, and get up. Times are changing.
But we got to be clear. This is the America we live in. This is nothing different. From the beginning, we've been punished trying to vote. We've been killed trying to vote.
So wake up, people.
Okay, we are only going to win with love and respect for each other and fight the enemy.
And remember, We can do it. Help your brothers, people. Help the next man. Help somebody. If you can help somebody, help them. Right now, everybody's going to need help. We ain't even, this is only the beginning of the end. Please do something. Say something. Stand up. Be something. Be involved. This is Roach Brown and Mertine. We're coming to you live from D.C., from Crossroads. And remember, your inner voice is never wrong. Merry Christmas.
But just let it be. Na 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now. Just you and me. Wake up all the doctors. Make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. But they don't have so very long before their judgment day. So won't you make them happy before they pass away? Wake up all the builders, time to build a new land. I know we could do it if we all lend a hand.
The WPFW Local Station Board, also known as the LSB, is looking for a listener sponsor to fill a recent vacancy. The LSB meets every second Wednesday of the month to ensure station programming fulfills the purpose of the foundation, to assist in fundraising activities, and to actively reach out to underrepresented communities. Interest in becoming a member may be expressed by emailing the board secretary at lsb.secretary@wpfw.org. Your email must be received by Wednesday, September 3rd. Eligibility for the LSB may be found on the station website at www.wpfwfm.org. Your participation on the LSB will help ensure WPFW remains active in the community, changing the world one broadcast at a time.
Dear WPFW family, from the bottom of our hearts, thank you for your extraordinary generosity during this critical fund drive. Because of you, WPFW remains strong, an independent voice for music, culture, truth, and justice. You've secured not only our present, but our collective futures. Stay with us, keep listening, tell a friend, and if you can, become a monthly sustainer to ensure WPFW's light never dims. With deepest gratitude, thank you for keeping WPFW alive and thriving. Together, we will build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Brother to the east.
To the east, my brother, to the east. Come on.
To the east, my brother, to the east.
To the east, my brother, to the east. Yeah.
To the east, my brother, to the east.
To the east, my brother, to the east, my brother, to the east.
Education, art, health, music, politics, and all things community.
Yes.
Join me, Ambrose Lane Jr., as we uncover the issues of D.C. communities east of the river on To the East, Mondays at 5 p.m. right here on your station for Jazz and Justice, WPFW 89.3 FM.
Are you ready to move, groove, and exercise with the WPFW family? WPFW's annual 5K Run Walk for Total Fitness happens Saturday, September 13th from 8 a.m. till 1 p.m. This fundraiser will be held at the Bladensburg Waterfront Park, 4601 Annapolis Road in Bladensburg, Maryland. In addition to a scenic 5K trail, fitness and wellness classes will be offered. Lively music to fuel your participation in the activities, along with water and healthy snacks, will be provided. Details are at WPFWFM.org or call 202-888-5484. There's something for everyone to enjoy. WPFW, building a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Brazilian nonprofit Educarte presents a night of Afro-Brazilian culture with Ile Aie percussion and dance ensemble from Liberdade Salvador, Brazil, celebrating its 50th anniversary with a return to Washington, D.C. on Friday, September 5th, 8 p.m. at the UDC Theater of the Arts at 4200 Connecticut Avenue, Northwest Washington, D.C. Their performances feature drumming, songs that tell the stories of resistance and hope, and dances inspired by the orishas and traditions of candomblé. Details about this Afro-Brazilian celebration in D.C. featuring Ile Aie at educarteinc.org, educarteinc.org, or 202-450-8541.
Birchmere.